You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to it. It is day of days. This is Friday. You have made it through the week, even though technically it was like a short week, but you have made it through the week. And that means we got to play some applause. Butters, hit it. that's good, man. Welcome to the weekend, you guys. Friday afternoon show, and I am operating remotely right now from an undisclosed location in the Jefferson County area today. But Butters is back there holding down the fort. He is running the board. How you doing, bro?
We'll see. These always make me nervous. But I'm excited to try and make it work, and sounds like you got some good guests.
No, we got a great time. You always make it work. So anyway, yeah, I am actually operating remote. Just spent some time working with or meeting with a bunch of state legislators, other folks who work in the conservative arena, and hearing a presentation by some folks that are going to come on the air with us here in just a little bit. I'm pretty excited about it. This is about legislation that really matters, and it's about things that are going to hopefully make a difference in kids' lives here in the state of Alabama. So I'll tell you more about that momentarily. We got a great show laid on for you. Just so you know, at 2:30 today, I'll go straight from monologue, have a short break, and then come back and jump right into interviews. A guy named Ben Bull is one of the original attorneys with Alliance Defending Freedom. He's also worked with the First Liberty Institute, and now he is with the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. And he basically is one of these guys who has defended every kind of case that you could ever want that protects kids and people and does things for constitutional liberties. Also on the show, we're going to have a guy with him named Chris McKenna, who is the founder and CEO of a company called Protect Young Eyes. And it's just basically a simple way that they can see through the opportunity to basically shield kids from pornography unnecessarily. You'd be amazed at how easy it would be, and yet you can imagine Pornhub and the others are fighting it. But yeah, we got those guys, Ben Bull and Chris McKenna, coming out at 2:30, and then at 4 o'clock, Congressman Gary Palmer is calling in. Going to talk about his trip down to the southern border, get his perspective on where things go, and hopefully hear that it's not going to be more talk, that we're going to see some actual action on our southern border from Republicans. All that, and I still got a triple dipper, so hit it.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So in conjunction with that conversation with attorney Ben Bull and Chris McKenna, I'm going to be just talking about what I call fighting for freedom. Y'all may not be aware, but there are law firms out there that actually do a lot of good work. And I mean, like, you hear about the Southern Poverty Law Center, you hear about ACLU, you hear about these liberal special interest groups that do crazy things in court. Well, there are groups like Alliance Defending Freedom and First Liberty Institute and others that are doing amazing things on the conservative side. We're going to talk about that, plus the legislation that they're working on to help shield kids. So that's number one in the Triple Dipper, fighting for freedom. Number two, didn't get to it yesterday, so my intent is to get to it today. DEI must die. That's where I'm at. I mean, I'm just looking at this thinking, DEI's got to go. DEI must die is the way we got to take this is no small thing, y'all. DEI is really beginning to show its ugly head. The magic is off, the shine's off the apple. But even still, the fact that it's there at all, is it just reverse discrimination? I would say yes, it is. So DEI must die, number two on the Triple Dipper. And then number three, I would imagine in conjunction with our conversation with Congressman Gary Palmer, we'll also be having the border on the ballot. So we're going to talk about that. What the border on the ballot, is this going to be a campaign issue? Well, you're freaking right it is. It already is. The border is on the ballot. You're going to want to know, you're going to want to hear the things that are being said by candidates, not the least of which are some who are running for office right here in Alabama, like Gary Palmer. So border on the ballot, that's number three on the Triple Dipper. All right, let me jump over here to my opening comments and remind you guys that Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers just a massive swath of our listening area, which is a massive listening area, Southern Immediate Care is the sponsor of the Daily Right Side Way monologue. They are a chain of clinics that are open 7 days a week. They can see all ages, and they are doing just amazing work, and we're proud to have them on board. This is who I actually use personally. That's who I go to when I need something, medically speaking. So Southern Immediate Care, you check them out, and they are the sponsor of the Daily Right Side Way monologue. Okay, let me jump in here and just tell you, in case you didn't know, this week that we're in right now, this week, it marks several milestones. Anniversary is in the law for which I was proud to be a foot soldier. As both an attorney and a former legislator, I'm a firm believer in the need and the benefits of the law. I'm a lover of the law, if you will. We are known as a nation of laws, a society that at its very core believes in preserving the rights of individuals, the order of society, the opportunities for freedom, and we do so as a matter of law. The laws of our land are, generally speaking, not just edicts. They're not orders. They're not issued by a single tyrant. They're not supposed to be. But rather, they are laws enacted through a multi-pronged process of legislative action, executive branch signature, and enforcement by the courts. It's a tripartite arrangement that most people in the world have no concept of. It's a part of what has made and kept this nation free for 2.5 years, being a nation, a country of laws. I love the law, and I love the good fight for good law. And this week marks two milestones that show what a good fight for good law can look like. So here's the first one. So 10 years ago this week, a law that I helped pass went into effect. And a year and a half ago today, the generational fight against abortion was finally won in the courts. Both represent good fights at various levels for good law. So on that first one, here's the thing. One day I was speaking to a group of students, and one of them asked me flat out, what was my most favorite thing, the most favorite, and I know what it was, that I did while I was a state senator? It was Senate Bill 280 that amended Section 22 of the Alabama Code during the 2012 regular session. So here's that story. So some very good friends to Charlene and I from many, many years, good friends, Chris and Karen May. You might know them as Boomer's parents. But my friends Chris and Karen May, they were the first folks that we had ever known who actually went through a foreign adoption. As they saw children of Ukraine when they were doing ministry in Ukrainian orphanages, they felt compelled and even called, really, that their next child was already born and was living in Ukraine. And she was, and her name was Karina. So the May family went through all the bureaucratic machinations, the legal wranglings, the State Department approvals, multiple trips overseas, hiring interpreters and foreign lawyers, and after what seemed like an eternity, they were able to bring Karina home to Alabama. They went through all that it takes to not only make her a part of the family, but to ensure that her U.S. citizenship was established, everything it takes to adopt a child multiplied by a factor and expense of 10, but they weren't done. So one day my friend Chris came to see me in my lawyer capacity back in 2011, because it turns out that Alabama was one of the few states left that had laws on the books that required what was known then as a readoption process. You heard me right. Alabama law made it more difficult by requiring that every parent who adopted a foreign child had to do it twice, to include all the legal costs of doing so. Why? Who knows? So I handled the issue as their attorney, and I was proud to stand with them in court and celebrate Karina's second adoption. But then the coolest thing I ever got to do in the state Senate came a few months later. I personally drafted a bill that became Senate Bill 280. It was co-sponsored by several of my colleagues, like Senators Paul Bussman and Brian Taylor and Gerald Allen and some others, and we passed it into law with a unanimous bipartisan vote. Taking effect 10 years ago in the first week of January 2013, the new law did away with the archaic need for a second adoption. It streamlined the adoption process for countless adoptive parents. And Section 1 of the Act states, and here it is, quote, "Be it enacted by the legislature, this Act shall be known and may be cited hereafter as Karina's Law." It was a great day. We had Governor Bentley held a special bill signing in the old House chamber in the Alabama State Capitol, and the May family with Karina looked on and had their picture made with the governor while he signed it into law. How cool is that? It was a good fight for a good law. It's a law about life. But this week also marks another milestone about another good fight on an epic scale. A year and a half ago, this week, the Supreme Court of the United States handed down a decision that rocked the nation when it overturned Roe v. Wade, handed the issue back to the states. But it was not a victory won just on that day, because you see, for 50 years, conservatives, and as a party, mostly Republicans, had been fighting against abortion. Despite the fact that the abortion industry is a big money special interest, and despite the fact that the left demonized and doxed and demonstrated against anybody who dared to question whether life in the womb was really life in the womb, despite political paralysis that saw many politicians sort of becoming indifferent over time, despite all those challenges and more, the fight to reverse Roe v. Wade was finally won in June of 2022. The states took up the issue as well they should, and in accordance with the law vested in the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. But Alabama, we were already prepared. Because one of the other things that we did during my tenure in the state Senate was we had already passed what is sometimes known as a trigger law, a law that takes effect upon some decision made that might trigger it into action in the future. So Alabama law clearly stated that our state constitution provides no guarantee of abortion. And since Roe was then overturned, that meant abortion became verboten right here in Alabama on the spot. Voila, Alabama law was triggered. The issue was rounded out. It was a good fight for a good law. I was proud to be there for both of them and to watch them happening. I tell you those stories for a reason, because it's a clear indication that the good and the worthy fights, they can bring a good and worthy end. The law actually matters. And the fights that we fight as conservatives, they need to be multi-pronged. It's not just about the ballot box. It's not just about the stump speeches. It's got to also be about things like policy and grassroots activism. And yes, it's got to be about enacting and enforcing good laws. My hope is that we as a state will now capitalize on these good laws. Y'all, we are a nation of laws, and our nation says the states get to decide matters of life, and our state law says that we're pro-life, all right? So let me suggest this. How about we dispel any of the liberal talking points that they're trying to say about us? The ones that say things like conservatives don't care about children and families, that those poor children born to those poor mothers are just nothing to us as conservatives. Quite the contrary. Look at the ones I just talked about. We should work now to extend the pro-life movement to not only preserving life in the womb, but to enhancing the quality of life for children after the womb. One of the chief means that we can do that is just to take the extra steps to streamline the adoption processes overall. Consider reductions for filing fees on the legal processes required to adopt children. Consider allowing for incentives like tax credits and scholarships and early childhood health care credits and more. Lawyers who handle adoptions, they can be incentivized to handle them pro bono or to allow for a tax credit for doing so. Doctors who do pediatrics, they can be incentivized to do prenatal and early childhood wellness checks for families that have chosen to forego abortion and choose adoption. Scripture says in multiple places that we should bring justice to the fatherless and that God upholds the fatherless. But as more and more young mothers realize that abortion is not a solution, and in some states, like Alabama, not even an option, let's make sure the pro-life means pro-living, and that we've done all that we can as a state to promote life in the womb and after birth. That's the good fight for good law, and it should never stop, because the fight for life is a very good fight. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. It was amazing to me to stop and think about the fact that it was 10 years ago this week that the Karina's Law went into effect, and to think about all the years that I was proud to be a participant in the pro-life movement to actually see a bill that I had passed get triggered and come into effect when the Supreme Court ruled on Roe v. Wade. It's an amazing thing, but the fight for life, y'all, the fight for life is bigger than that. It's nonstop. Let's keep it going. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.